This recording, New York 35, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, so I grew up in Penfield, outside of Rochester. It was a suburb, upper middle class suburb. It was a very pretty place to grow up. There were lots of trees and nature around, and I would play in nature during the day. I would go down into the ravines and gullies around the neighborhood and play war with the other kids and things like that. And so it was, and then I went to elementary school in Penfield. I went to middle school and high school in Brockport. I went to the University of Buffalo for a term and was miserable there and left, and then transferred to Bennington College in Vermont, Southern Vermont, and studied creative writing and media study and the early stages of the internet and things like that. No other college after that, no. One of the things that I realized that about my childhood that was different was that I was always sort of living out of bags and after school programs and things like that. And as I was in middle school and high school, and we were in a more rural place, it took up to an hour to just get home from school because the bus would be traveling through the countryside, and and you would realize like how far away from everything you were. And I think it made me feel very isolated. And, but I found that has kind of stayed with me since I've grown up. Every time I live in a place, like I'll live in a city, I'll always find an apartment at the very outer reaches of the city. And it'll always be it's a sense of like being able to be completely tuned out and turned off from the place and then engage with the place. And so I think I really didn't like that as a child. I didn't like to be so far away from where the action was and where my friends were. But now it's the thing that I can't really live without as an adult.